This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A three-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here on this wonderful Red Friday. We have so much to get into between now and the end of the show. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Hondo Carpenter, who covers the Raiders for Sports Illustrated, he will be on the show today. We also are going to take a trip around the AFC. We're going to get the thoughts of the other three division leading teams, kind of check in on them, see their thoughts about the DeAndre Hopkins trade. We'll do that coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We also are going to have Nate Taylor in studio. We'll also get you a little Sunflower Showdown as this weekend K-State plays KU. All right, we got a lot to get into. We are going to start today with the Kansas City Chiefs. You can always text into the show, 913-586-7965. We'll get to Chiefs and Raiders coming up in just a bit. But first, let's give you a chance to win a prize.
Pizza time on The Drive, Carrington. Dial me up right now. Call number 6-913-586-7965. Doing a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So whether you're hungry enough for a whole pie or only want a slice or two, be sure to visit them now. PizzaTasio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
All right, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City and you're also excited about this weekend's Chiefs and Raiders matchup, the best place to get all of that information is right here with us on 96.5 The Fan. All right, this is where I would like to start. Now, I don't have to tell you guys that over the course of the offseason, the Raiders showed an immense level of disrespect to Patrick Mahomes. I want you to really think about this in the open. Do you know how much hate has to be in your heart for you to bring a Kermit the Frog Patrick Mahomes with a wig doll to Raiders training camp? Patrick Mahomes is nowhere near Raiders training camp. You should be celebrating the start of the football season and celebrating your team. But no, some fan decided to bring a Kermit the Frog, Patrick Mahomes. He had a wig. He had the whole getup. Now, I still don't know the name of the player for the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't even know if that guy is on the team still. I imagine that he is, but he's not a player that I really need to concern myself about with the Las Vegas Raiders. So you guys have seen the video. He takes the mask. He's mocking his voice. And boy, that thing ran through Chiefs Twitter and Chiefs Kingdom like wildfire. Everybody was talking about it. Pat was talking about it. We'll address it when it's time to address it. George Karloftis, he knew the exact date. This was in July. These are two hated, bitter, long-standing rivals. We know that the Chiefs sometimes have a tendency to play down to their opponents. I can give you some examples, but I'm sure you know those examples. Sometimes the Chiefs kind of sleepwalk and lollygag through games, and they don't go out there and give you an A effort because they know that they can play a C-plus or a C-minus game and still figure out a way to win. But there are certain moments and certain instances that you will get the best version of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think you saw that last week against San Francisco in a Super Bowl preview. I think you saw that in week one against the Baltimore Ravens. You will see that in a couple of weeks against the Buffalo Bills. For those kinds of matchups, Chiefs get up for those. For those kind of statement games that you want to circle on the calendar, you get the best version of the Kansas City Chiefs. You know who put themselves on the list? The Las Vegas Raiders. Maybe this is a game that we would trap game. You got Monday Night Football next week in Kansas City, and Buffalo is right around the corner. This could possibly be a game that you would think that the Chiefs might look past the little old Las Vegas Raiders who have already started selling pieces and look like they could maybe fire their head coach. It's a lot going on around the Raiders, but when are there not a lot of things going on around the Las Vegas Raiders? This could have been a game in which the Raiders just could have snuck in. No. If I'm Andy Reid, I don't really have to do too much to motivate my team this week. I show them two videos. You don't even really got to go that far into the archives if you're Andy Reid. I go on YouTube and I make them watch the full highlights from Christmas and the picture at the end where it's Brittany Mahomes and it's Taylor Swift and they got on Santa Claus hats and they are consoling each other because they are watching a Chiefs loss. I let them watch that entire YouTube video. Then I turn the light on. Hey, what do you guys think about this? You know, let everybody speak. And hold on, we got one more thing that I want to play for you guys. And I turn the light off again. And then I show them that video. And I might let them watch that video one or two times. And then I just turn the light on and I walk out if I'm Andy Reid. If those things can't motivate you to go out there and play your best and put it on a team that is clearly hurting right now, there's nothing else that will motivate you to go out there. So I don't know if the Chiefs are going to win 31-3 or 41-10. I don't know if they have that level of haymaker ability the way the old Chiefs have. But I know what the Chiefs do have the ability to do. They have the ability to beat this team 27-10. And just, you guys are not going to have a good offensive day. You're a team that has a backup quarterback. You are a team that can't run the football. You are a team that doesn't have a whole lot of options. The Raiders don't really present a lot of things that you would think could really hurt Kansas City. And I also don't think Kansas City is going to look past them the way that Baltimore did early on in the season. So there are some games that you should expect to get the best version of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that's on Sunday against the Las Vegas Raiders. So I think that's storyline number one. The last time that this team lost was Christmas, and you were getting ready for probably having your Halloween party this weekend, and the Chiefs still haven't lost. Every other team in the league has lost since then, except one, the one that you cheer for, the Kansas City Chiefs. The second thing that I think we are all looking for and wondering is, what is the role going to be for DeAndre Hopkins heading into this game? Now, I'll give you some numbers here coming up in a bit. It's a little bit of a mixed bag. I can give you some examples of where a wide receiver has joined in the middle of the season, and it's been great. I can give you a video of where teams got a wide receiver, and it didn't really work out that way, at least not in week one. So I think we are all wondering, how much is DeAndre Hopkins going to play this week? How much is he going to be able to contribute this week? But we do know he is going to play.
Probably, yeah.
You know, it was only a couple days of practice. How do you look to it?
He did, you know, he did a good job. He's in the process of going through everything. So everything he does is the first time, but he's got the experience with relative plays, so. But he's picked it up. He's a smart guy, which really helps.
So that was Andy Reid earlier today, where he expects DeAndre Hopkins to play this weekend. I fully expect DeAndre Hopkins to play this weekend. Amari Cooper last week for Buffalo in his first game, he had four catches for 66 yards and one touchdown. Devontae Adams has played one game for the New York Jets. He had three catches for 30 yards in that game. Odell Beckham a couple of years ago in his first game with the Los Angeles Rams, he had two catches for 18 yards. Now his second game, he had five catches for 81 yards. So again, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag. There's no reason to overreact if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have one of those monster games, but you expect him to play. You expect him to get out there. You expect him to have a contribution towards this outcome. I do want to play for you guys what Patrick Mahomes had to say about this, because the two big storylines to me are, number one, how are the Chiefs going to respond to the video that we saw this offseason, and what is the role going to be for DeAndre Hopkins? Here is Patrick Mahomes from this summer in response to the Kermit video.
Yeah, I mean, it's still early in the year. Kind of stuff like that happens. It'll get handled when it gets handled. Not really, honestly. Everybody kind of just lets me play. I mean, they know how I am, so they don't need to send me anything to keep me motivated.
That was the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Here's Andy Reid.
Patrick Mahomes got some fuel to the fire recently with the Raiders and a puppet and some other things out there. I know last year he was kind of searching for some things to fire him up, and he found them. Is it a smart idea to fire up Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I'd probably say not. We don't spend a lot of time here with puppets.
That was Andy Reid when he was asked about the puppet video. There's some people that I just wouldn't go out of my way to upset. I just wouldn't go out of my way. During COVID, we watched an entire documentary about an athlete that usually, if you got on his bad side, it ended very, very badly for you. I think we know that Patrick Mahomes is somebody who has a long memory and someone who will probably score in this game and certainly make some reference of it. You remember the time against the Chicago Bears where he counted on his fingers to 10 to remind the Bears, you guys had the opportunity to draft me and you didn't. So those are the two biggest storylines I think will come out of this game, and two things to watch. I understand it's the NFL and it's any given Sunday, and this is a rivalry divisional game, so anything can happen. Just the Raiders, to me, are not the kind of team that gives Kansas City problems. They can't run the football. They are a one-dimensional team, and that one dimension is fine if you have the options, and there's just not a lot of options on this Raiders team. There are some games that I think there's some teams that could kind of put a little bit of a fear in Kansas City. I'm just not really sure that the Las Vegas Raiders are one of those kinds of teams. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Hondo Carpenter of Sports Illustrated. We'll get his thoughts on this week's matchup, and also if he thinks the Kermit video is going to have any bearing on the outcome of this game. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Hondo Carpenter. He covers the Raiders for Sports Illustrated. We'll get his thoughts on the early part of the season for the Las Vegas Raiders. Hondo, man, happy to have you join us again.
Hey, buddy, good to be on. Thanks.
Absolutely. Hondo, let's just start here. The Raiders are 2-5. What has gone wrong so far this season for the Silver and Black?
Well, the offense, if they were arrested for being an NFL-quality offense, there wouldn't be enough evidence to convict them. It's been an absolutely terrible performance by the offense. They've struggled at quarterback. They've struggled at multiple areas. And it's just been, that's the Achilles heel. This is still the same defense that everybody knows. They've had one bad game, but other than that, the defense has been stout all year, despite, you know, losing major injuries. They're still doing what the Raiders do, but it all comes down to offense. They just literally have been atrocious, and they're their own worst enemy. I mean, the terrible play calling, that something will work, so they literally go away from it. Tell me how that makes any sense. And then player execution, player penalties, and turnovers. It's just been, you can't point to it's just players. You can't point to it's coaching. It's all of it. It's been atrocious on this offense, and it's been a complete and utter disaster.
What's been the feeling around the Raiders from, I believe it was last week, maybe I'm off by a week or so, they were down 8 points. They chose to kick a field goal late in the game. They did get the ball back, and then they subsequently threw an interception. It was a very controversial decision, at least with the people that I was watching it with. The Raiders, in my opinion, should have went for it and at least tried to tie the game up right there. What's been sort of the feeling about the Raiders after that play?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, I agree with you. I think they should have went for it, but it is one of the, I mean, but one thing I love about Antonio Pierce is there's no coach speak with him. And so they had a 4th-and-2, they were going to go for it, and then they get, so they decide at that point, all right, we're not going to go, we'll take the field goal. We know our defense will stop them and we'll get the ball back with all of our timeouts and be able to, you know, try again. So I understand why they did it. I agree with you. I would have went for it. But at least when you look at his reasoning, I mean, he didn't plan on the interception. His reasoning worked out and panned out. But, yeah, I agree. No, I don't think there was any real issue with it. I think people had various opinions. Most agreed with you and I that they should have went for it. But it was not anything. That decision left no lingering residue on the franchise at all.
Right now we're talking to Hondo Carpenter, who covers the Raiders for Sports Illustrated. When I look at the Raiders from the outside, we can talk about the quarterback play, but I think their biggest problem is this is a team that just simply can't run the football. And I know that running back has been devalued in a lot of ways, but all the teams that people think are good have the ability to run the football and maintain balance. This is a team that offensively just doesn't really seem to have a lot of balance. There are certainly other problems with the Raiders, but when I look at them from the outside, their biggest problem is this team can't run the football consistently.
Well, I would respectfully tell you that I think that's a reasonable opinion from somebody that isn't here every day. I am, and I would go in a little bit different direction than you. Let's go back to last week. They ran the ball really well, so what did they do? They went away from it. Literally, go away. I mean, you're going against the worst rushing defense in the NFL. You're having success. So, hey, here's an idea. Let's go away from it. Made literally no sense whatsoever. And they've had other opportunities where when they use the pass to set up the run, they were able to run. The problem is they've made it very clear to everyone they're a running football team. They want to run the football. So every team they play is putting, you know, 8 men in the box, 9 men in the box at times to stop the run. And there's very few teams in the NFL that are going to run against a 9-man front and have success. So rather than doing, it goes back to what I talked about with play calling, rather than doing what it takes to be successful, it's, hey, let's just prove that we're going to do what we want. I'll give you a quick example. So they're in Baltimore and they're having no success running the football. They just keep trying. Then they go to the air and start passing, and boom, all of a sudden they're able to force teams to not be able to stack the box, and then they were able to run. Last week, same situation. And so it's just unfathomable. There's no rhyme or reason. In fact, I said to the offensive coordinator yesterday in his weekly press conference, I said, it's not your fault when a player doesn't execute. It's not your fault when a player has a turnover, and it's not your fault when a player gets a penalty. But you are the offensive coordinator, and the only consistency with your offense is inconsistency. That's your fault. How do you fix it? And, you know, they give you an answer. Luke Getsy is a very good man. This is not a personal attack on his character, but he's been terrible both in Chicago and here now as an offensive coordinator. And the problem is this is not a team that doesn't have talent. This is a team that, especially, again, it goes back to offense, is not able to put points on the board. And when they're doing something that works, their worst enemy is themselves. I'm not a fan, but it's even frustrating to have to watch. I feel for the fans.
Right now, looking at the quarterback situation, you guys have Gardner Minshew, who's going to get the start. Aiden O'Connell, he broke his thumb. He's going to miss some time. You guys bring in Desmond Ridder. It doesn't seem like it's really mattered who the quarterback is. Their offense has struggled either way.
Yeah, it literally has been no difference. It's same different quarterback, same result. Now, in fairness to Ridder, they haven't seen what he can do, but, I mean, I don't think going – anyone in the National Football League, any fan, any executive would think going and grabbing a guy off the Arizona Cardinals practice squad is going to be the savior of a season, but who knows what he'll do? We don't know, but it won't be this week, I don't think, unless something happens to Gardner. But it's just been, you know, it's like Gardner said to me last week. He goes, it's not fair to my teammates. I mean, I got four turnovers. But when you look at my career, this hasn't been what I've done in his career. And he's absolutely right. It isn't what he's done in his career. It's just literally been an offense that no matter who's out there, it's looked terrible.
Right now, we're talking to Hondo Carpenter for a couple more minutes. He covers the Las Vegas Raiders in preparation for their game against the Kansas City Chiefs. I liked Brock Bowers a lot coming out of Georgia. He is having the kind of season and impact that I thought that he could. Outside of him, do you guys have anybody else in that passing game that Kansas City should be worried about?
Yeah, I think Jacoby Myers is a guy he's an absolute star wide receiver. I've said this the entire offseason, even when Devontae was here, that he's the best offensive player on this team. He's very good. DJ Turner, when the quarterback gets him the football, is an incredible weapon at wide receiver. That's a guy. Trey Tucker, if the quarterback can get him the football, he's a guy that's going to stretch the field. I mean, he's the Raiders' Tyreek Hill, and I'm not saying he's as good as Tyreek, but he's that type of player, and when they get him the football, he's a game changer. So, yeah, they're there. Alexander Mattison, when they've actually given him the ball and game planned where, you know, I expect the Chiefs to do what everyone else does, load the box and just take away the run. And if the Raiders use the pass to set up the run so the Chiefs have to get out of the box, you know, that's another guy, Trey Tucker, that can absolutely be a weapon. This is the thing that makes no sense. If this was a team that was void of talent, I would understand where they're at. And they're not. So, yeah, there's plenty of weapons. And, you know, years ago, Bobby Bowden, the legendary Florida State coach, he and I were having lunch together, and we were talking about football teams and blame. And I asked him, I said, you know, I said, help me, Bobby, as a media member. You know, I want to be fair when I'm critical. I don't want to just have a hot take because that's the cool thing. And he gave me a word of wisdom I've never forgotten. He says, if you've got one or two players making mistakes, that's on the player because everybody else is getting it. He said, but when you have multiple players making mistakes and it goes on more than just a series, maybe it's a couple of games or more, he goes, that's clearly on coaching. He goes, that's a coaching issue, and that's when I know I've got to look at my staff. The Raiders' issues right now, you can point to a penalty here, a mistake here, a problem here, and every one of them would be correct. But the other thing you have to look at is you're also dealing with, it's been a pattern now for seven games. That's coaching.
Right now, we're talking to Hondo Carpenter here for a couple of more minutes. Two-part question here. You mentioned coaching. Is there a chance that Antonio Pierce is one and done as the head coach for the Las Vegas Raiders? And I imagine that you guys are having a lot of quarterback conversations for next year. If you polled 100 Raiders fans, who do they want to be the quarterback next year out of this upcoming quarterback crop?
I don't know that anybody is so sure of who they want right now, but they want a rookie, period. They just want a rookie. The problem is Patrick Mahomes doesn't grow on a tree, and he needs to hurry up and have some more kids and let them grow up, and so we can draft a Mahomes. But in being serious, they want a rookie. They want a do-over, and they want to start over, and that makes sense. As far as a one-and-done situation, now that Tom Brady's here, I don't know that it would have depended on how the season went. I think that's a definite possibility. And at this point, nobody's calling for it. But I think anytime you bring in a new owner who is not going to be settled with being part of a mediocrity, I think that's absolutely in play and a possibility.
A lot of conversation here locally has been about the puppet video from the offseason, certainly understandable from the Kansas City perspective, or Raiders players mocking the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that's been the talk here. Has it been the talk there? Are Raiders fans or Raiders players, have they talked about that video this week?
Well, first of all, I want to address it because I was right there. It was not a player who was mocking, and I want to explain what happened. It was a rookie named Trey Taylor. And a fan who didn't know anything about the Raiders Chiefs, he didn't know anything about that being a Patrick Mahomes, a fan hands him a Kansas City Chief puppet. And, of course, he saw it was a Chief. I'm not pretending he didn't. But he didn't know it was a shot at Patrick. And the kid felt like crap. And everyone on the team was like, listen, that's not us. We hold Patrick in great respect. And so, yeah, it happened. And if I was the Chiefs, I would absolutely be talking about it. But just so you know, putting it in perspective and reality, I mean, the kid felt literally like crap about it. And AP came out and addressed it and said, that's not who we are. It isn't what we meant. It was a rookie that didn't get it. And, you know, a lot of people went after the fan. What are you doing? Why are you giving that to a rookie? The Chiefs are talking about it. They should, but I can tell you it was – there is nothing but respect in this building where I'm at right now than anything else for the Chiefs. It should happen. If I was the Chiefs, I would be playing that thing every day, all day. But I wanted to give you what really happened.
Last thing here, and we appreciate the insight. We always ask fans, or we always ask the opposing guests this, give me your Chiefs win if scenario, give me your Raiders win if scenario.
Raiders win if it's food poisoning and the bus is late and they don't get to go to sleep and have their game, and then the Raiders play absolutely perfect. Now, I know that sounds silly because this is a team that just, you know, beat them at Christmas, but they have not had a good game this year. So if the Raiders play perfect, but they're not going to be able to beat the Chiefs without the Chiefs' help. Now, I want to say this. I went on Kansas City radio last year before the Christmas game, and I predicted a Raiders win and literally got laughed off the radio. The response I got on social media. But my point is, I'm not a fan, so I call them exactly how I see them. If they played this game 100 times, I think the Chiefs win 97 or 98 of them. Just the Raiders right now are not in a good place. I think the Chiefs are rolling, and I think it would be very, very difficult for the Raiders to get a win. Could they? Absolutely, because there's a lot of talent there. But, man, I just think it would be really, really tough. I don't see many scenarios where the Raiders get a win.
That is Hondo Carpenter joining us on the show today for the Raiders' perspective of Chiefs and Raiders. Hondo, great stuff as always, man. Enjoy talking to you.
I appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That is Hondo Carpenter joining us on the show today. I do want to talk about the head coaching situation for the Las Vegas Raiders here coming up in a bit. I got all the respect in the world for Hondo and his reporting, and he is a veteran in this. What he said about the puppet, it just ain't flying with me. It's not flying with me based on what we saw in the video. It's just not flying with me with what we saw. Now, I wasn't there. The man's there. I want him to give his opinion and tell you his perspective of what happened. That is not what it looks like on the video. Now, maybe the Raiders player didn't know originally it was Patrick Mahomes. You then got to explain the audio to me, because the Raiders player is clearly mocking Patrick Mahomes' voice. So maybe you didn't know originally when he handed you the puppet. At some point, you knew. Now, I believe all the other stuff that I believe the other Raiders was like, yo, what in the world did you just do? We've heard those stories enough with Michael Jordan. I can even play one of them for you. Rob, you remember the story about J.R. Ryder, Kevin Garnett, and Michael Jordan. How Kevin Garnett, his first time playing against Mike, he's all excited. He starts saying stuff to Mike. J.R. Ryder goes up to him like, yo, we don't do that here. I don't know what you think this is. That's not how we talk about that individual. And Jordan's like, oh, that's how it is? And then Jordan scores 30 in the fourth quarter of the game. So I think it was a lot of that. I believe the Raiders have a lot of respect for Patrick Mahomes. Hey, you can make fun of Travis Kelce. You want to make fun of Chris Jones? Sure, go ahead. We don't make fun of that guy. Not on this team. Nah, man. We done seen it too many times before. No. I'm not buying that guy didn't know what he was doing. I think he knew what he was doing. I think he was trying to be funny. I think he was a young guy trying to be funny, got caught up in the moment, and then everybody else around him was like, nah, man. Nah, you messed up. You on your own. Nah, Pat, I don't got no issues with you. I don't got no smoke with you. The head coach apologized for it. He knows not to upset that man on the other side. So that's what I think happened. That's my read on the situation.
I do believe Hondo when he says that everyone in the room was like, what are you doing to the rookie? Because he just didn't know better. I think I disagree with Hondo, too, on the idea that, you know, he didn't know any better or whatever. I think what happened was he got the puppet, he made a joke, he got a bunch of laughs from the fans at training camp. And you know what people do when they get a bunch of laughs? They try to do more.
Keep going. Yeah, keep going.
Hey, I'm People are loving me right now.
Yeah,
he went
sure.
from sixth round rookie who had two people talking to him at camp to suddenly everyone's on him with video, laughing, having a good time. I think he then got in the locker room and the Max Crosby types who have been there and done this.
Somebody came up to him and was like, yo, what were you doing?
Stop.
Yeah,
why
somebody
did you
came
do
up to
that?
Him. Because it
and
would
I
be
get
very-
why he feels bad too. To Hondo's reporting. I get why he then got told in the locker room what and then hung his head like, I messed up. But I think that's true too.
Yeah, because in most scenarios in a team, I'm a ride with you. Rob, whatever you do, I ride for you. We rep the same smart tech. I might not agree with you, but I'm a ride with you because you my mans. If I openly and publicly go against you, that lets you know you really did something I can't co-sign. Whenever the head coach instantly comes out and, yo, hey, we told this player, we apologized to Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, no, I'm not, and I love Hondo. I think Hondo is great. He will come on the next time these two teams play each other. That reasoning right there, I'm not buying, I'm not rolling with. I can't co-sign that. That's just not what the video looked like to me from watching it. I do want to talk about the Raiders coaching situation here. Now, maybe this analogy is a little bit off base. And you guys can tell me if you think so. 913-586-7965. You know who Antonio Pierce is? Antonio Pierce is Romeo Crennel. You guys remember Romeo Crennel took over for Todd Haley. Antonio Pierce took over for Josh McDaniels. It's on the fence on whether or not he's going to get the job or not. If you remember, Romeo Crennel got that job because the Chiefs beat who? They beat the Green Bay Packers. The Packers were really good that year. I believe the Packers were undefeated. Maybe I'm misremembering it, but I know that year the Packers were really, really good. He then, Romeo Crennel, got the job because the Chiefs beat the Packers. And I think the Chiefs and the fans realized pretty early on, yeah, man, hey, we made a mistake. Think about it. Romeo Crennel, players coach, coming off of Todd Haley, coming off Josh McDaniels. It's easy to like that individual. I'm not even saying that I think Antonio Pierce is a bad coach. I don't really think he's been given the tools and weapons for us to figure it out. But right now, that's who he feels like to me. He feels like Romeo Crennel. You were the players coach that came in. You got the one big emotional win. The players want you to get the job. The fans want you to get the job. So the owner's like, all right, we'll hire you. We'll give it a chance. They gave Antonio Pierce the job, and it's going kind of how we thought it was going to go. Now, if you start a season with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell as your two starting quarterbacks, I'm not really sure how good we think your team is going to be, but what happened to them last week is inexcusable. Now, I understand if many of you didn't get a chance to watch it because it was the same game, same time as the Kansas City Chiefs, but I had it on the other television. I had Red Zone on the TV. It was one of the worst decisions that I've seen this so far in the NFL. So for those of you that missed it, the Raiders were down 8 points in the last 2 minutes of the game. They were down 8 points. They went on a long drive, 15 plays, 66 yards. It took up 8 minutes. It is fourth and goal from the 9-yard line. They have all three of their timeouts and they are down 20-12. They make the decision to kick the field goal, go down 5, and try to play the 3-and-out game. They actually get the 3-and-out. 4 plays, 23 yards. They get the ball back. They then threw an interception 2 plays later. They had to go the length of the field, mind you, but they got the ball back. You got to go for it in that scenario. You can't be the aggressive, tough-minded coach, and then you choose to kick a field goal in that scenario. Maybe you get it, maybe you don't. Worst case scenario is the Rams have the ball first and 10 from the Raiders' 3-yard line, and you still got 3 timeouts, and you try to force them to get a punt, and you try to get the ball back at midfield to now go down and score another touchdown. Decisions like that is when I was like, yeah, this probably isn't going to work long-term. And the Raiders are going to come in next year, and Brady, I think, is going to be very visible with the Las Vegas Raiders, and they're going to go get another quarterback. And you got to ask yourself, as an organization, do you want this guy to be the head coach of your new quarterback? And I'm going to guess the answer for the Raiders will be no. They will try to go out and make a big splash, make a big offensive-minded hire. They will draft Quinn Ewers or draft Shedeur Sanders or Carson Beck or one of those quarterbacks on the draft, and that will be their quarterback to try to go up against Patrick Mahomes. All the other teams in the AFC West have done it, except them. The Chiefs have a quarterback that they have drafted. The Chargers have a quarterback that they have drafted. The Broncos have a quarterback that they have drafted. And the Raiders are starting Gardner Minshew this week. Tells you everything you need to know about why they're the worst team in this division. So I think they are getting a new quarterback, and the odds tell you they're probably getting a new coach as well. Now, if you look at the Raiders over the course of the last 10 years at head coach, this is who the Raiders have had. They had Josh McDaniels, who is bad. He's not good. Now, Rich Bisaccia, he actually wasn't that bad of a coach. He was all right. He was good. They made the playoffs with him. He wasn't bad. They had John Gruden. Remember, they gave John Gruden that 10 years, $100 million, took him from TV. It did not work out for him either. They had Jack Del Rio. Remember, they had Tony Sperano as their head coach. Dennis Allen was their head coach. Hugh Jackson, Tom Cable, Lane Kiffin, Art Shaw. It's been bad for the Raiders over the last 20, 25 years or so. You think about organizational stability. The Raiders have not had stability at coach. They haven't had it in terms of staff. They had a little bit of stability with Derek Carr as their starting quarterback. And then when Derek Carr was having his best year, he broke his ankle. The Raiders have had a lot of hard luck over the course of the last 15, 20, 25 years or so. And that's how they find themselves in terms of the complete and total organizations. They find themselves near the bottom.
That head coaching list is a sign of bad ownership. Because if we delve into each hire, it seemed like the NFL media or people in the NFL were saying, I don't know about that one. Like, we had our doubts on this show about Antonio Pierce. No one thought Josh McDaniels would work. It didn't work in Denver. He's a Belichick disciple. End of discussion. No one that I know thought that Dennis Allen or Lane Kiffin stuff would work. They're both too young. Jack Del Rio, I guess, worked to an extent, but retreads on their second and third job have a shelf life sometimes. It didn't feel like that was, you know, made for the long-term type of answer. Hugh Jackson was never an answer. He said Art Shell would have been an old man at that point. That wasn't going to work. John Gruden, the name was sexy. Getting him out of the booth was sexy, but the contract they gave him, no one seemed to understand that. That list of bad coaches is a reflection on bad ownership.
Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about Jason Kelce, who is getting a brand new opportunity over at ESPN. We'll also give you a parlay for this weekend. We'll give you one college. We'll give you one NFL. We've hit on a parlay in each of the last 3 weeks. We're trying to make you a little bit of money here on The Drive. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, coming up in just a little bit, I want to talk about Jason Kelce, who has now been given a cool opportunity over at ESPN. But before we do that, every week we try to help you guys put a little extra cash in your pocket. Now, I believe, Robin, tell me if I'm wrong, I think we've hit on a parlay in each of the last 3 weeks. So if you've been tailing these plays, we also gave you a Chiefs parlay for the Monday night game. All six legs of it hit. So this show has been making you a little extra money if you want to make these plays and if you want to follow what we've been doing over the course of the weekend. Every week we try to give you one college. We also try to give you one NFL two-leg parlay. All right, Rob, let's get to it. You know what? In college, that's where I would like to start. We have a big game this weekend between Notre Dame and Navy. Navy has been one of the biggest surprises in college football. They are ranked in the top 25. They also are undefeated. Well, you know that Navy and all those service academies, they love to run the triple option. You are telling me right now that I can get Navy's leading rusher, Blake Horvath, I can get him at plus money to score a touchdown. He has 10 rushing touchdowns this year and is averaging 7.9 yards per carry. He has been absolutely phenomenal. Yes, I will take plus money. If you want to get even crazier with it, you can take Alec Teska. He is their fullback. He has 7 rushing touchdowns on the year. He also is plus money to score a touchdown. They have the over-under at 50.5, and they're telling me that everybody you think could score a touchdown for Navy is plus money at this point. You got to roll the dice on one of those two individuals. If you want to get crazy with it, maybe do a two-leg parlay for both of those individuals with Horvath and Teska. But I'm just going to take Blake Horvath. I'm going to take even money plus 100. That's my favorite college play this weekend.
I'm going to take the over in the Sunflower Showdown. The number is at 54.5. And Carrington, if there's one thing I know about K-State, having watched them thump my school for 15 consecutive games, you know what I've learned? They love to pour it on when they can pour it on. They are going to put up numbers this weekend. KU against lesser opponents gave up 30 to Arizona State, gave up 35 to TCU. They're giving up 30 to bad schools. They're definitely giving up 30 or 40 in this game. And even though KU probably won't win, they can score a little bit on their own. Devin Neal's a great player. Jalen Daniels looking better. So like the over of 54.5 total points in the Sunflower Showdown, you play that with a Horvath touchdown plus 281.
You know what, man? This reminds me of old time, the nostalgia. Missouri's got a chance to do something. K-State's got a chance to make a BCS / playoff game. And KU is bringing up the caboose in the Big 12. Some things never change. It was like that when you were in college. You say 15 years, nothing has changed in 15 years. K-State has killed. K-State is still K-State, and KU, well, they're still KU. All right, let's get to the NFL here. This is my favorite NFL play for the weekend. I'm going to buy the hook here. Falcons minus 2.5 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who's healthy on Tampa Bay? Who is Baker Mayfield throwing the football to? Baker was a drastically different quarterback after the injury to Mike Evans, and now you don't have Chris Godwin. You're talking about a team that could possibly not have its top two receivers for this matchup. Give me Atlanta. They've been inconsistent, but the fact that this number is less than 3, I will take the chance on it. Give me Atlanta minus 2.5 this weekend in Tampa.
Carrington, I'm going to play a very familiar play. When Kareem Hunt rejoined the Chiefs, I knew he wasn't going to score in that Atlanta game. But the LA game, it was coming home. Everyone knew it was coming home. And then when he was back at Arrowhead, oh, you knew it was happening again. Davante Adams, it didn't happen last week. But you know what? There's no way Aaron Rodgers doesn't find him in the end zone. I like a Davante Adams anytime touchdown. Beyond the NFL script stuff, he got 9 targets last week, only had 3 catches. Davante Adams is too talented to have 9 targets, only 3 catches. If that continues, he will find his way in the end zone, especially considering Garrett Wilson might be playing his way out of Aaron Rodgers' circle of trust. And they're playing the Patriots, who are soft, according to their coach, and stink, according to their record. You play an Adams anytime, and the Falcons minus 2.5, and that's plus 320.
All right. Couple NFL and college parlays if you want to go out there and make a play. Right now, you can get Cincinnati at minus 2.5. Do you like them at home to cover against the Eagles?
I would stay away from that one. Big stay away energy.
Yeah, I probably actually like the Eagles on the road at plus 130 to go on the road and pull off the upset, but I'm with you. There are a handful of lines this weekend that I'm personally not touching. I don't like the Chiefs line. It's not that I don't think they're going to win the game, just 9.5. The Chiefs just have a weird something about them. If they just like to keep games close, that is personally a game that I am staying away from, at least that part of it. There's some other things I would play, but at least the who's going to win the game by the spread, I just wouldn't touch it with Kansas City. I just feel uncomfortable about them being a big favorite in these spots. They've let you down too many times before. I do want to get my thoughts out about this very quickly. So we just saw an announcement that ESPN is putting together a late night sports show for Jason Kelce. Congratulations to him. He is having a lot of success in media. I think many of us thought he was going to do that after the success of the New Heights podcast. I do have a couple of things here, and I want to be clear that I like Jason Kelce the same way that everybody else likes Jason Kelce. But this first part. Has anybody in sports been able to make that late night talk show thing work? Because they've tried it with a lot of different people. Bill Simmons has tried it before. Bob Costas has tried it. Bomani Jones has tried it before. Remember Stephen A. Smith used to have a show like that, a late night talk show interview style. Has anybody in sports ever been able to make that show work? Like maybe that is just a concept that sounds really good, but the public, the consumer, just doesn't really want their sports content that way. They've never been able to kind of find that foothold, and it's not going to be a daily show. They're only doing it for five Fridays. It's just it's a very, very weird schedule. I also think ESPN is doing this. I think they're using Jason Kelce wrong. Now, maybe I'm off, but I think Jason Kelce is probably a lot closer to Marshawn Lynch than he is Tony Gonzalez or Michael Strahan. And when I watch how they're using Jason Kelce, they're trying to make him a suit and tie in the studio, break down the games analysis guy. I don't think that's what he is. I think he's Marshawn Lynch. What Marshawn Lynch does for Amazon, I think is perfect for Jason Kelce. Let Jason Kelce go to a city for Monday Night Football and let him interact with the locals. Let him sit down and interview who the star is and have that conversation player to player and do those kind of things. I don't really think that he is suited for what they want him to do. And I think we see it all the time in media that the higher-ups kind of make an idea and a vision of what they think you should be, and they kind of pigeonhole you into it. Jason Kelce is the same guy that had his shirt off for a playoff game. He's the same guy that was taking shots out of a bowling ball earlier this year. I just don't think he's the suit and tie, sit at the desk, late night. I don't think that's what he is. I think he has a very defined role, and I think he could be phenomenal in that role. We have seen Marshawn Lynch do some really cool things. Let Jason Kelce be Snoop. What was Snoop's role at the Olympics? It was be there and be Snoop Dogg. Hey, comment on this thing. Comment on this thing. Be you. Be funny. Be entertaining. I want to see you swim with Michael Phelps. I want to see you have dinner with Martha Stewart. I want to see you be you. I think that's what people want to see from Jason Kelce, and I think they're trying to make him something that I'm not really sure if that's what he is. He's not suit and tie. He's not that guy, and I think ESPN is just using him incorrectly.
Isn't he Pat McAfee? Like what McAfee does on College Game Day, not the daily radio show. But if you watch College Game Day for both hours, maybe it's 3 hours now, but if you watch the entirety of College Game Day, you know what McAfee is not doing? Hard-hitting analysis. He's standing on his chair, screaming out things, like singing the songs, doing the chants, getting people fired up, taking his shirt off, doing the kicking contest, interacting with the fans, talking about, oh, last night I was at this bar and I was at this restaurant. He's just enjoying being on a college campus for 48 hours. They have Herb Street and Nick Saban and Desmond Howard for actual analysis. Isn't that what Jason Kelce should be? Get Monday Night Countdown like it was in Kansas City on location. Have him walk around the tailgates. Have him hang out. And then have him show up in a t-shirt, dance around, make a little bit of analysis, but leave that to the other people. Like, McAfee on game day is what Kelce should be on Countdown.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And this is no slight at all towards Jason Kelce. I don't think he's Pat McAfee because I don't think there's that many people like Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee could be the sit down at the desk guy like he is for College Game Day. He can be the one who kicks field goals with college kids. He also can do WWE if he wants to. There are very few broadcasters that have that level of versatility that could do all of those things at the level that he is. Like, Pat McAfee is a unicorn in a lot of ways for how different he can do things and where he can be. I just think we've seen enough of Jason Kelce to know what he's really, really good at, and I'm just not sure if that's the way they're using him currently at ESPN. But it's also 6 months into it. It's the first year of him. You know, eventually I think they'll find a role for him. I think he's super talented, and I think there can be one. I just don't know if they have it right now with ESPN. Coming up at the top of the hour, let's talk a little bit more about the Raiders, how they are in a group of teams that you never want to be in. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.